Alright, Shabbosai, good morning. I want to begin by thanking the sponsors of this morning's daf, by thanking Shmuel and Shira Artman, both Artmans, Baruch Hashem, the Artman Mishpacha, both Moshe Dovin and Shmuel for sponsoring the Shira this morning in honor of the 18th yard site of their father, Fishel Beirul Ben Yitzchak Gershon Zichron LeBrach. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Shem will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. Thank you. And to thank Greg and Rachel Levitan for dedicating the Shir in the Refuah Shalema for Yisraela Rivka Bas Peshi, and in gratitude for HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Shushan Purim, and in the merit of Avas Yisrael, Achdos Yisrael, and Avas Yisrael. Mamish. All on one little piece of paper. That's Shkach for the sponsorship. This Chola should have the four Shema together with Kol Chola Yisrael and Halavai. It should be a day of Achtos and a day of Ava. Shkoyach. All right, so let's begin. Beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Mem Bav. I don't know what's going on here this morning. Amish, it's Ruach. Okay, good. So let's begin. So we left off. Is that what it is? Mamish. Was there a power for you last night?
Yeah.
Mamish. You're good. So the Rebbe says, let's go. So we left off the bottom of Memhamad Beis. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda, the Sharish Acharem Minale, which will say is five lines up from the bottom, I'm sorry. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, the Sharish Acharem Minale, from where do we know this idea that you don't only destroy all the Zorah, but you have to root it out, you have to root out after it, meaning you have to destroy it, but then you also have to dig down and try to uproot it. So the Gemara says, Mi'ivi Ibaritem es Shema min HaMakom Ahu. From the Pasuk, you shall destroy its name from this place. The Rabbanon used that pasuk to teach you that you have to go ahead and call Avodah Zarah by a nickname. What does that mean? Rabbi Lazar says, so where do you know after you destroy Avodah Zarah that you have to go ahead and root it out? Talmud Lomar v'ibaratem es shemam. So the pasuk says, you shall destroy its name. We'll say, top of Memvav Amud Aleph. Amud Lora B'Yekiva. Fellow Kavar Ne'emar Abei Tabdun. So yeah, Rabbi Kiva says, but the pasuk already says, you shall surely destroy. Imkein Matam Lomar V'ibaratem es shemam min HaMakamahu. But we'll say, if the pasuk already says that you have to destroy Avodah Zarah, then what? Why does it say V'ibaratem es shemam? Why does it say that you have to destroy its name? So the Gemara says, Hahu Lechanos L'Shem. But say, this ultimately teaches me that I should give, it literally means, give Avodah Zarah a nickname. Which I will say ultimately means what? Go ahead and call Avodah Zarah by a different name. So the Gemara says, Yachol Lechanos La, Yachol L'Shvach. I might have thought maybe I should call Avodah Zarah by a nice name. L'Shvach Sagadaitcha, a nice name? Ella Yachol Lo L'Shvach V'lo L'Gnai. Rather, what it means is, I might have thought that just I could call it by any name, not necessarily a nice name, not necessarily a derogatory name. Talmud Lomar, Shakeiz Tishakzenu, V'ta'ev Tisa'avenu Kicherimhu. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says, literally, Shakeiz Tishakzenu, you should treat it. Like a sheketz, right? Like a creepy, crawly thing. Treat it like something disgusting, because Avodah Zarah is off limits to you. What it means is, the goal is to call Avodah Zarah by a derogatory name. So the Gemara says, what's an example of that? If they call the Avodah Zarah Beis Galya, now Galya, Rashi says over here, is Lashon Gova, Gali, right? It means, Galya means high, like a pile, like a tower. So if they used to call the Avodah Zarah Beis Galya, you should call it Korin Osa Beis Karya. Bosei call it Karya. Bosei Karya means like a quarry, like you dig something. So if they called it something high, you call it something low. Ein Kol, if they call the Avodah Zarah the all-seeing eye, you call it Ein Kotz. Let's call it thorn in the eye. The idea being, they're both saying, it's not just enough not to worship Avodah Zarah, that's obvious, but one has to place a distance in themselves in Avodah Zarah to whatever degree possible. And one of the greatest ways in which we place a distance in ourselves in Avodah Zarah is to disparage it, to actively disparage the Avodah Zarah. Tani Tana Kamei Rav Sheshes. So first of all, there are just two important yisodas that are coming out over here. Yisod number one is this idea that it's not just enough to destroy all the Zara, but Zarach lahashrish achareha. You have to root it out. You have to dig down and literally dig out the roots. Dig out the roots means that remove any vestige of the Avodah Zarah, the Avodah Zarah itself, and anything deeper associated with it as well. And number two, the idea that if the Avodah Zarah is known by a particularly praiseworthy name, you have to call it by something a little bit more disparaging. Tani Tani Kamedir Rav Sheshes. Ha'akum ha'ovdim es ha'arim ves ha'gvos. If an Akum goes ahead and worships the mountain and the hills, Hey Mutar, so as we saw in yesterday's daf from the day before, so the hills and the mountains remain Mutar because the Akum can't turn the hill or the mountain into a Cheftza of Avodah Zarah. Va'ovdehen b'sayif. But those who worship it ultimately are killed by the sword. In other words, they're of the Avodah Zarah. So meaning, we'll say it's an interesting idea. Tachavamina is, I might have thought that since the Ovid Avodah Zarah can't transform the object he is worshipping into a Cheftza of Avodah Zarah, so what? So maybe that means that what? That he's not chayef for Avodah Zarah either, for worshipping Avodah Zarah. Kamash Malon, no. Even though he can't go ahead and turn the hill or the mountain into Avodah Zarah, nevertheless, what? He is still chayef for Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, V'es azran v'es ha'irakos, if he worships the seeds or the vegetables, he worships that as Avodah Zarah, he'nas surin v'ovdein b'sayif. And I will say, ultimately, again, those could be transformed into a cheftza of Avodah Zarah because they're movable property, they're metaltalin, so they could be turned into Avodah Zarah, they become asar, v'ovdein b'sayif. And the person who worshipped it ultimately is executed worshipping Avodah Zarah. Amrlei, the Amrlecha, Mani, who said this to you? Meaning, whose opinion is this? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi bar Yehudihi, the Amar, Ilan Shenatu Ulebasof Avdu Aser. We'll say, whose opinion is this? This reflects the opinion of Rabbi Yossi who holds. We'll say, we saw this in yesterday's daf, that if you take a tree, and the tree initially was planted, not for Avodah Zarah purposes, for stamp purposes, and what happens afterwards, you serve it, that it becomes aser, that ultimately the tree afterwards becomes aser. So we'll say, but why not set up the discussion before as dealing with the case as a tree which was originally planted for Avodah Zarah and is aser in accordance with the Rabbanon? Lo, diktani dum yedahar. No, because we'll say the case has to be comparable to the mountain. How so? Mahar shelo notu mitchila lekach. Just as a mountain was not, so to speak, originally planted or created for the sake of Avodah Zarah, Av Hainam Yishlo Natu Mitchil Lekach. So to Rabbi Yossi, the second case in the Braisa also has to be something that wasn't originally created for Avodah Zarah. Therefore, again, it resembles the case of the tree initially planted for the sake of a tree and subsequently worshipped. So Rabbi Yossi, let's just close the loop on that because we had that machlokes yesterday between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi Aglibi regarding a tree which was planted for the purposes, which was planted for no purposes, just planted for stam, right, nondescript arboreal purposes, just to be a tree. And then it was subsequently worshipped. So does that subsequent worship turn that tree into a cheftza of Avodah Zarah? Rabbanon said no. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili said yes. How do we paskin? We paskin like the Rabbanon, Rabbi Yossi. That a tree could only become a cheftza of Avodah Zarah if ultimately planted for that purpose initially, but not if it's planted stam and then subsequently worshipped. So the Gemara goes weiter. Itmar. Then we're going to begin a discussion. It's going to take us a little bit of time, but it's really quite fascinating. Itmar. Avne harshin edaldulu. What's the case here? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says it's the first short line in Rashi. Shinidaldulu ne'ekrume elehen. So we'll say this is a case, ultimately, again, you have stones on a mountain. Shinidaldulu, we'll say Rashi says, ne'ekrume elehen means they were uprooted by themselves. V'shtacha ve'akonu. So we'll say, what we established earlier was what? Was that Lamaisa? If you go ahead, Akum worships a mountain, he obviously does not transform that mountain into a cheftza of Avodah Zarah. Right? What happens if there were stones dislodged on the mountain? And what happens? Those stones remained on the mountain. They were not dislodged by man, but rather they were just stam dislodged. So now people say those are movable stones, but they still sit on the mountain. The Ovid Kochavim worshipped them. So what's the Shaila? do the stones become avodah zara or not? That's the fundamental shayla. Now, on one hand, they're still sitting kind of attached to the mountain, but yet they are physically detached from the mountain. So if the Ovid Kochavim worships them, do they become avodah zara or not? Bnei Rabbi Chiya of Rabbi Yochanan, I'm supposed to say this is a machlokis between the sons of Rabbi Chiya, who, interestingly enough, Rashi points out are Yehuda and Chizkiya. Those were the names of the son of Rabbi Chiya. So Yehuda and Chizkiya, Bnei Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Yochanan, Chad Amar Asuros, one said that the stones are in fact Aser, V'chad Amar Mutaros, and one said that they are Mutar. So the Gemara says, my taima, the man damar de Mutaros, what's the logic of Rabosei to say that the stones don't become avodah zara, that ultimately again they're still mutar? Because kehar, because ultimately again the stones will be just like a mountain. Mahar she'ein bo tfisas yedei adam umutar, just like the mountain ultimately again is not Rabosei. Remember, ein bo tfisas yedei adam, we saw in yesterday's daf, means that what? They were never manipulated by a person. In other words, they're not created. There's no human involvement in their creation. So it's about say these stones, right? A person was never involved in them. Remember, even though they're own, right? It has nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. Therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, they should be mutter. Umalahar shekeim uchober. But I will say, on the other hand, the mountain is attached to the ground. These stones are not. To which the Gemara says, you're right, Behema Tochiach. So at the end of the day, says the Gemara Behema Tochiach. We can learn this out from the case of the animal. We'll say, what's the pshat with the animal? Take a look at Rashi. Actually, not yet. Fine. Take a look at Rashi. Behema Tochiach. We'll say, take a look. It's on top of Rashi, the second of the short lines. Behema Tochiach. Sheinu Mechubar. We'll say, an animal obviously is not attached to the ground. Ve'inam ne'asaretz b'shtach aviyah. We'll say, it's actually very interesting. And the animal itself does not become aser if somebody worships it. D'mida aser rachmana ne'evad legavoa dechsev min abakar v'lo kol abakar lohotzia ne'evad. So we'll say the fact that ultimately what? The fact that halacha lemaisa a cow becomes aser legavoa for sacrificial purposes, if it's worshipped, tells us that that's only the gavoa. The Rashi over here quotes the drasha, Michlal de lehedyot shari. For stamp purposes, I will say, if somebody worships a cow, right, so ultimately, again, I could go ahead and use that for non-sacrificial purposes. So the Gemara says, Michlal de lehedyot shari. De lehedyot aser, lamali kra le gavoa. Fine, so back to the Gemara. So behema tokiach, mala behema, but no, you can't prove if I'm behema, why? Shekein balas chaim. So we'll say, ultimately, again, a behema is a living thing. So who's to say you could bring a raya from the behema, ultimately, about the stone? To which the Gemara says, Har Yochiach, if I will go back and we'll prove it from the mountain. Problem is, you can't prove from the mountain. Why? Because as we just said before, the mountain is Mechuber. The Chazra Adin Lori Zekri Zeh, Velori Zekri Zeh. So we'll say it comes out that they're not all comparable. Zat Sad Hashavah Shebohen. What is the common denominator? She'ein Bohen Tfisas Yedei Adam Umutter. We'll say the common denominator seems to be that these are all things for which there is no human involvement, and therefore, again, what? They are mutter. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the bottom line common denominator, specifically focusing over here on the mountain and the stones which became dislodged from the mountain, is that there is no tefisas yedei adam. There is no human involvement. So because there is no human involvement, ultimately, again, they cannot become aser through avodah zara. So the Gemara says as follows: Af kol she'in b'hem tfisas yedei adam mutar. So I ask the Gemara: Mala tzar hashava shebohen shekin lo nishtana mibriyasam. Why don't you say that actually the tzad hashava, that the common denominator is that these items have never changed from the time that they were created? Ela asya mi behema ba'alas mum. So says the Gemara: You're right, but you could bring a raya from an animal which. Now has a mum. So we'll say, umihar, and from the mountain. So we'll say, the case of the behema balas mum, ultimately, again, is an entity which has changed since its creation. Vi'inami, mi behema tama umi ilan yavish. Or we'll say, ultimately, again, you could bring the raya from a behema tama, which is an unblemished animal, and a ilan yavish, a dry tree. But we'll say, even though a dry tree has changed, nevertheless, what? It does not become avodah zara. To which the Gemara goes right there and says, Umanda asar, lahachi ksev. So we'll say, so far, we've seen the svara ultimately of the one who says that it's mutter. right? We've seen the Svar Avdona says that it's mutter. That halacha lemaisa, if the stones become detached from the mountain, stone, that they're still considered to be part of the mountain, so to speak, and cannot become usher through Avol de Zara. So we'll say, in the logic being, just the basic Svarah seems to be, l'fi she'in bahen tfisas yedei adam. Because we'll say, there's been no human involvement with this. So because there's no human involvement, pretty much it's the equivalent of the mountain, even though it's now detached from the mountain. So the Gemara says, Uman da asr. So we'll say, what about the opinion who says that the stones will be asr? The detached stones, which are resting on the mountain, will be asr. So we'll say, the Torah uses very strong lashon here, right? The Torah uses lashon of shakhez to shakzena v'taseiv to saven, which means Rabbi say avodah zarah should be something that is disgusting and repulsive to you. Which teaches me, Rabbi say, that even if you can prove that something may be halachically permissible, nevertheless one should endeavor to stay away from it. So even if one can make a compelling argument that these stones might be mutter, the mice again, one should distance themselves from it. Tistayim de b'nei Rabbi Chiya de Sharu. But say it would appear that it is, now remember again, the Gemara quotes this machlokis about the stones, right? Avne Harshin and Dalgalu, and tells us that the sons of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan had a machlokis about mutter asr. The problem, not the problem, but the Gemara did not tell us who holds what. So the Gemara now says it would appear that it was the sons of Rabbi Chiya ultimately, again, who said that the stones were permitted. Why? The Baichiske, but listen to this interesting case. Zakov Beitza, Lishtachavos La Mahu. But we'll say, if you stood up an egg, right? And for the purpose, ultimately, again, to bow down to it, as Avodah Zarah. So what's the halacha? We'll say, what's the status of the egg? So we'll say, first wide line, Mem Vav Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara, Kasaka Daitcha Lishtachavos La Vishtachavala. So Amar Thor, so what that means is, I stood the egg up to bow down to it, and what? I bowed down to it. The Kami Barile, and I will say the fundamental Shaila is, Hai Zikifasa, Ihavi Maisa, Ilo Havi Maisa. And I will say the fundamental Shaila is, right, is the act of standing up the egg considered to be a Maisa or not? Avalo Zakov, but most like what I can infer from that is, that, obviously, Avalo Zakov, but if I did not stand up the egg, Lo Misra, ultimately, again, the egg does not become aser. Now, we'll say, why does the egg not become aser? Lefi she'in batfisas yidei adam. Because there's no human involvement over there. And that's why, again, at the end of the day, it will not be aser. Shema mina b'nei Rabbi Chiya d'shar. We'll say, and the fact that b'nei Rabbi Chiya apparently say by the egg case, that if you just leave the egg stam and you bow down to it, the egg doesn't become aser. The only shayla is if you stand it up. If you stand it up and were to go ahead, ultimately again, would it become usr? Now, Bo said, what's the difference between standing it up or leaving it alone? So, because the act of standing it up is an act of human involvement. So, because of that, ultimately again, it has the capacity to be usr. So, you see from here that B'nai Rabbi Chiya are the ones who say that where there is no tefisas yidei adam, ultimately again, so therefore the object doesn't become usr. Applying that logic before, in the case of Avne Harshin Edaldalu, the case of the stones on the mountain which becomes dislodged but remain on the mountain, B'nai Rabbi Chiya apparently would say that what? That it remains mutter. To which the Gemara says, Loli Olam Eimu Lacha B'nai Rabbi Chiya Da'asri. That's not true. I can still say that B'nai Rabbi Chiya are the ones who say that the stones which became dislodged become aser. Dishtachav Allah Afa Gav De Lo Zakfa Asura. Because we'll say they might hold that a case of where you bow down to the egg, even though you didn't stand it up, it still becomes aser. Aye, so what's the case over here with the egg? V'hacham ayaskinon, kigon shezakov beitza lishtachav osla, v'lo hishtachav elo. We'll say, what's the case? The case is where someone stood up the egg to go ahead and bow down to it, bless you. But he didn't, but no one ended up bowing down to it. V'lo hishtachav elo. So the Gemara says, uleman, ilaman da amra avodas kochav mishal Yisrael asura miyad asura. So we'll say, I don't understand. What's the case? The case is where somebody stood up the egg to worship it, but no one actually ended up worshiping it. So I don't understand how this would be us. Let's analyze this. Ilaman damrav, let's go chavim shal Yisrael asura miyad. So if you hold, according to the opinion who says that the avodah zarah of the Yisrael becomes immediately asur, even before it's worshipped. Once it's designated as avodah zarah, by definition it's avodah zarah, it's asur. So then, asura, then I will say, obviously the egg will be asur. Ilaman da'amar ad shi'is aved, so I will say, but according to the opinion it says that the avodah zarah of Yisrael only becomes asur when? Only when it's worshipped. So says the Gemara, halopolcha, No one ever bowed down or davened to this egg. He goes, what's the case of Osai? He goes, Shezakov Beit Lishtakav. So listen to this. Somebody stood up the egg to go ahead and worship it. Velo Ishtakavelo. And the Jew never did so. But what did happen? Uba Ovid Kochavim Vishtakavelo. But Ovid Kochavim came along and worshipped the egg. Kihad Amra Vihuda Amra Shmuel. Yisrael Shezakov Levina Lishtakavelo. So listen to this. It's actually fascinating. So now a Jew stood up the egg. Akum came along and bowed down to it. So we'll say, so what's going on over here? Kiyad Amra Yehuda Amr Shmuel. We'll say this is like a previous case we learned. Yisrael Shazakaf Levena Lishtakav Osla, that if a Jew stood up a brick, so besides I stood a brick up so that it's standing height-wise, it's standing tall, what happens? Lishtakav Osla. And I did in order to worship it. I'm worshiping the brick. Uba Ovid Kochavim Vishtakavela, and the Akum came along and worshipped the brick. Asura. Ultimately, again, the Akum's worship of the brick that was stood up by a Jew. I know my English is not that doesn't. That was stood up. Yeah, okay, that was stood up by a Jew. So it says the Gemara Asura v'kami. I'm sorry. Stand it up. Oh, that sounds much more. It's much more Hamish. Studied. I think studied. Studied is even better. Studied. Right. So says the Gemara. So Asura. The Kaliba is supposed to say, what's the Shaila? The Kamibayle, Levenahu de Minkara Zikifta. So we'll say, I might have thought as follows. That is Dafka in the case of the brick, where when you stand it up, it will say, that is an obvious Maisa. Why? Because when the brick stands in its height, right, obviously that's much more recognizable than when it's laying down across its width or across its length. Aval Beitza, lo. But an egg, when you stand it up, there's not such a recognizable Maisa. O Dilma Loshna. Or maybe it makes no difference ultimately again between the brick and the egg. The idea over here is that when you do some kind of maisa and the akum comes along and what? The akum worships it. That by definition ultimately again it turns and it makes it osur. So says the Gemara Teku. So the Gemara ultimately again leaves the case of the egg. Right? The brick case is clear that if the Jew stands up the brick, the akum goes ahead and worships it. So the brick ultimately becomes osur. The case of the egg, the Gemara seems to say, is a Teku. The fundamental shaila being rooted is the act of standing up the egg a significant maisa or not? Okay. Boy Rami Chama. Boy Rami Bar Chama. Hamushtacha belahar lahar. So we'll say if somebody bows down to a mountain. So we've already established that if you worship, if a person worships Avodah Zarah, a mountain has Avodah Zarah, what's the status of the mountain? What's the status of the mountain? Unchanged. Right? Unchanged. You cannot change the status of a mountain through Avodah Zarah. Right? Again, for all the reasons that we discussed. However, Avanov Mahul Mizbeach. Well, listen to this interesting Shaila. If you go ahead and you chisel some stones from that mountain, so ultimately, again, can those stones be used to go ahead and build a mizbeach? Build an altar. So we'll say, Amadeiz. What's the Shaila? Yesh ne'evad b'mechubar, itzal gavoa. O'ein ne'evad b'mechubar, itzal gavoa. We'll say, what's the fundamental Shaila? So do we say, remember again, if something was worshipped for Avodah Zarah, when worshipped for Avodah Zarah, we'll say, you can't go ahead and use it for any type of temple purpose. Right? Legavoa. So the Shaila Rabbi will say is if something was worshipped, but it was mechuber, so obviously I know I can't go ahead and turn that object into Avodah Zarah. The Shaila is it now off limits for the use of sacrificial purposes or not? So the Gemara says, Yesh ne'eva b'mechuber eitzal gavoa, o ein ne'eva b'mechuber eitzal gavoa. Ibe imtin salomar, Yesh ne'evad b'mechubar eitzal gavoa. And I will say, if you hold, actually I will say, just go for 1 second, go back to Amud Aleph just for a moment. Last Rashi on the daf. The last Rashi on Amud Aleph is actually Shayach to Amud Beis. Rashi is ne'evad, the ba'alichayim asr l'gavoa. Rabbos, remember again, in the case of an animal, if you worship an animal, a person worships an animal for the sake of Avodah Zarah, that animal becomes asura as a carbon. You can't offer it up on the Mizbeach. The afagav the shay lehedyot. Interestingly enough, you could use that for mundane purposes. I could eat the animal, I could check the animal, but at the end of the day, I can't give it as an offering. Va'afak of the shayla hedyot. Bekami bayilei mi chayil shem ne'avod ala mechuber la'osra la'gavala. But see, here the fundamental shayla. Here's what I know. I know is that if a person worships the mountain, they don't transform the mountain into a chefetz av avodah zarah. That's what I know. What's the shayla? The shayla is, if a person goes in and worships the mountain as Avodah Zarah, and someone then takes stones from that mountain, can those stones be used to can those stones be used in the service of the Beis HaMikdash? That's the fundamental shayla. So that's Yesh Ne'evad L'Gavoa B'Mechubar Itzal Gavoa Oin Ne'evad B'Mechubar Itzal Gavoa. So listen to this. Im Tim Salomar Yesh Ne'evad B'Mechubar Itzal Gavoa. So I'll say, if you want to say that Lamaisa again, yes, it is Aser. It is Aser. You can't take that which is attached to the ground and worship as Avodah Zarah, even though it doesn't become Avodah Zarah. You can't use it for sacrificial purposes. So if you do hold that, Machshirei Karban Ke Karban Damu, Olo. And we'll say, what about a secondary usage? Look at Rashi. Tap Rashi, Memavam of these. Eitzel Gavah, Ibn Tim Slomar Yeshne, Avad Eitzel Gavah. Akatimi Boile Hachi. Hai Ne'evad, the love of the carbon Gufeka Boile. Elo Lebinyan Mizbeacht, Machshire Carbon Miamirinka Carbon Dami. Ne'evad Asaban Allah. We'll say, listen to this. What about to take stones from the Mizbeach, from the mountain, to make a Mizbeach? So we'll say, this is what we'll call Machshire Carbon. That's not the actual sacrifice itself. Rather, what that's called, it's a machshir. It's a secondary usage. So machshirei karban ke karban dami olo. Amar Rava. Suppose that Rava tries to solve this with the following kal v'chomer. Listen to this. Uma esnan shemuter betalosh lehedyot aser b'mechubar legavoa. We'll say, so listen to this. You hear the fundamental shayla? The fundamental shayla is as follows. We really have two simultaneous questions happening over here. Number one, ultimately, again, do we say, Yesh Ne'evad B'Mechubar Eitzel Gavoa, that if something ultimately, again, is attached to the ground, and therefore cannot be transformed into a Chefza of Avodah Zarah, will it still be Aser for sacrificial use? That's question number one. And then the corollary, the follow-up question on that is, even if you say that that is Aser, what about use of that object, not for direct korbanic purposes, but what? For secondary carbonic purposes, machshirei carbon. What's an example of machshirei carbon, Rabosai? Building a mizbeach. So can I use the stones from that mountain, which was worshipped as idolatry, to go ahead and build my mizbeach? So Rabosai, so watch this. So says the Gemara, Rava wants to bring a kavachomer. Uma esnan, Rabosai, esnan means a payment given to a harlot, right? The payment given to a zona for her services. It says the Gemara, Uma esnan shemuter betalish lehadyot. And we'll say, now watch this. So let's say a person pays the esnan. Now, let's say he pays her betalish. He gives her a watch. So we'll say, what's the halacha? That watch, somebody else could use that watch. Let's say she gives that watch to somebody else. So we'll say, so the mice again, that watch is not aser ba'ana, right? The hedyot could use that watch. You don't say hedyot just means any unconsecrated use. So aser b'mechubar l'gavoa, yet I will say, if somebody gave her something that is mechubar, right? Gave her a house, whatever it is, gave her something that's mechubar. So we'll say, that item is aser l'gavoa. The Beis HaMikdash, that item cannot be used by the Beis HaMikdash. D'chsiv lo savi esnan zono u'mefir kelev. Because it will say, ultimately, again, the Pasuk says, you shall not bring the Esnan Zona, the payment of the Zona, ultimately to the Beis HaMikdash, who is in the Beis HaMikdash, Loshna Talosh, Veloshna Mechubar. Makes no difference if the Esnan Rabosai is attached to the ground or detached from the ground. Ne'evad, Sha'asar B'Talosh Lehedyot. So we'll say, when it comes to Ne'evad, remember, Ne'evad means something worshipped as Avodah Zarah. Sha'asar B'Talosh. Rabbi say that object again, if it's detached from the ground, then what? It becomes Aser. Rabbi say, remember again, detached Avodah Zarah is the paradigmatic case of Avodah Zarah. It's detached, it becomes Ne'evad. Sha'aser b'talosh lehedyot. So Rabbi say, Avodah Zarah, which when it is detached, becomes Aser for anything, even lehedyot, meaning even for unconsecrated purposes, it just becomes Aser b'ando. Eino din sha'aser b'mechubar l'gavoa. Rabbi say, ultimately, so then the Kal v'chomer dictates, based on Esnan Zona, that it should become Asr L'Gavoa, that B'Mechubar, that even ultimately, again, even if it's Mechubar Abosai, even though, again, if the Avodah Zarah is Mechubar, ultimately it doesn't become Asr L'Hedyot, because Avodah Zarah, which is Mechubar Abosai, can't really be transformed to a Chetz of Avodah Zarah, but it should still be Asr L'Gavoa, to the Beis HaMikdash, Armali Rafunabari of Yeshua L'Rava. So this was Rava's Kavachomer. And based on Rava's Kavachomer, Abosai, ultimately, again, even something that is Mechubar, even though it can't be transformed into a Chefza of Avodah Zarah, will still be off limits to the Beis HaMikdash. Based on what? Based on a Kavachomer to Esnan. back the payment to the zona. Estnan of zona, when it is talush, ultimately again is, or whether it's talush or mechubar, ultimately again is mutter to the hedyot, but yet is going to be asr legavoa. So certainly again avodah zara, which is asr to a hedyot when it is talush, will certainly be asr to gavoa when it is mechubar. Amrali Rafun Radio Yeshua Lurava. Or, by the way, you could turn that kalachomer on its head. How so? Uman ne'evad sha'asra b'talush eitzel hedyot mutar b'mechubar l'gavoa. What's he can say as follows? Ne'evad, something worshipped as avodah zarah bosai, is going to be asr l'gavoa when it is detached. Yet again, eitzel hedyot mutar b'gavoa. Right? Eitzel hedyot mutar b'mechubar. So we'll say, listen to this. Yet ultimately again, I read that wrong. Ochiluf. Uma ne'avad, sha'asar b'talush eitzel hedyot, yet mutar b'mechubar l'gavoa. So we'll say, listen to this. I could have said as follows, that when it comes to ne'avad, something worshipped as avodah zarah, when it is talush, when it is detached, it is asar, even by a hedyot, even by regular circumstances, maybe it would be mutar b'mechubar l'gavoa, sh'ne'emar, Eloheim al haharim, v'lo aharim Eloheim. Loshna lehedyot, veloshna legavoa. But I'll say, ultimately, what does the Torah teach me? The Torah teaches me that something that is attached to the ground can never become, can never become avodah zarah. And I can make the argument that perhaps that is true for hedyot as well as gavoa. One second. Esnan, shemuter betalush lehedyot, eino din shemuter b'mechubar legavoa. Then I'll say, remember again, now comes along Rafuna Bredi of Yeshua and flips the kavachomer on its head. He's starting with avodah zarah, and then learning the kavachomer back to esnan. Esnan shemuter betalush lahedyot. So we'll say in esnan, when it's talush, when it's detached, ultimately is mutter to a hedyot. Ein odin shemuter b'mechubar l'gavoa. Ultimately, again, should be mutter b'mechubar to the Beis HaMikdash. V'im yishum Beis HaShem Elokecha. And if you want to say, ultimately, what about the pasuk of Beis HaShem Elokecha? So you will say, now remember, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that if the Esnan goes ahead and receives something that is mechubar, something that is attached to the ground, she, according to this Kal v'Chomer, she can give that to the Beis HaMikdash. I, which you're going to ask, but the pasuk says, Beis HaShem Elokecha. So we'll say, the pasuk says, Lo Savi Esnan Zono Mechir Kelev Beis HaShem Elokecha. Now remember again, before we use that phrase, Beis HaShem Elokecha, to teach you that even if she receives something mechubar, that cannot be given to the Beis HaMikdash. So what are you going to do with that phrase? Mi Baile L'chid Desanyo. I will say that phrase is necessary to teach me the following halacha. Beis HaShem Elokecha, when it says that she can't bring her esnan to the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, prat lepara she'ina ba'a lebayis divrei Rebbe Elazar. Well, this is actually quite interesting. Let's say the zona receives as her payment a para aduma. It's a from client. Right. So what happens? So she goes here, she gets a para aduma. So we'll say, now what's the shayla? The shayla is, can she go ahead and bring that para aduma? Can she give that para aduma to the Beis HaMikdash? It's the fundamental shayla. So the Gemara says, so Beis HaMikdash, prat lepara she'ina ba labayis. The Rebbe loves this. So we'll listen to this. The pasuk says, anything that an esnan is given as payment for her services, lo savi Beis HaShem Elokecha, cannot be brought into the house of God. So says the Gemara, lo savi esnan zonah mechir kelev Beis HaShem. So let's listen to this. Rebbe Elazar has an incredible drasha. Rebbe Elazar says this doesn't include para aduma. Why doesn't it include para aduma? Because we'll say, interestingly enough, para aduma is not offered up in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? The para itself is not a carbon that is offered in the Beis HaMikdash. So because of that, remember again, para aduma, we'll say, is shechted on Har HaZeisim. Right, you can go. It's actually today. It's a monastery. The spot where they know the spot where they shechted the Karban Pesach. They don't have Karban Pesach. See the Paraduma. It's mamish right across on the Har HaBayis. It's the non-cemetery part of Har HaZeisim. So says the Gemara. I should say it differently. It overlooks the valley of Har HaZeisim. So says the Gemara. So prat la parashin about the Rebbe LeBayis. So we'll say ultimately again. So that comes to exclude the only thing an Estman can't bring. Ultimately, is anything that's going to be offered up in the Beis HaMikdash, but the paradum which is offered outside the Beis HaMikdash, even if it was given to the zona as payment for his services, can be brought. The Chachamim say, The Chacham Tzvi Rabbeinu say that this comes to include what? That if she got paid in gold plating, she can't donate that gold plating to the Beis Hamikdash. The Rabbeinu say in the Kodesh Kadoshim, the walls were gold plated. So if an Eslan was paid in gold plating, she cannot donate that plating to the Beis Hamikdash, because again, Rabbeinu say that's Rosavi Eslan Zona Beis Hashem Elokecha. Since it's going to be used for the actual construction of the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't use it. So Rabbeinu say, Rabbeinu responds back to Rabbeinu Rabbi Yeshua. I don't understand you. I brought down a kavachomer, and my kavachomer yielded a chumra, and your kavachomer yielded a kula. Kula v'chumra l'chumra parchinon. Whenever we have two possibilities, two ways to learn a kavachomer, and one is the kula, one is the chumra, we always go the chumra by the kavachomer. So I'm the Rabbi Papa says to Rava, is that true? V'chol heichad yiko kula v'chumra l'kula lo parchinon. Is that true? Wherever we have the ability to learn a kavachomer, l'kula or l'chumra, that we always learn the Kal V'chomer L'chumra V'ha Hazod the Pesach. But what about the following case of Osei? The case of sprinkling on Pesach. What's the case of sprinkling on Pesach? Look at Rashi for just a moment. It's almost, Osei, this is such a treat. Right across in Rashi. Just mamish, shift your eyes to the left. Hazod the Pesach Tomei Meis Shechal Shvi'i Shalo B'hiyos B'Shabbos Bera Pesach. What is a really interesting case? So you have a following situation. Somebody was Tomei Meis. So Rabbeinu said the only way, remember again, to rectify that tumah is how? Is paraduma. But it turns out that, so remember again, you're sprinkled with the ashes of the paraduma on day one, day seven. So what happens? So it turns out that day number seven is also Shabbos. Is also Shabbos. So we'll say, so what's talocha? Huh? So the pligi, so baha azad the pesach, the pligi Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Eliezer, sarah lechumra, the kamechayiv leilagavra. Rabbi Eliezer says, we'll say l'chumra. He learns out the kavachomer. Rashi will point out the kavachomer in just a moment. He learns it out l'chumra. Right? And we'll say again, his logic is, Rabbi Eliezer's logic is, that if you could shecht the Karban Pesach and on Shabbos, and shechita is a malacha, so Rabbi Eliezer says, certainly you could sprinkle on Karban, on Shabbos. So Rabbi Eliezer says, what's the issue with hazah on Shabbos? It's a shvus, it's a din d'rabban, and it's aser. We'll say, why would it be technically usher to go ahead and sprinkle the paraduma ashes on Pesach? Because we'll say it resembles malacha. Why does it resemble malacha? Tikkun mana. You're fixing something. In this case, you're fixing this the ritual state of a person, and therefore it's asim in d'rabbanan. We'll say isim d'rabbanan is called a shvus. So Rabbi Eliezer says that lemaisa again. Rabbi Eliezer sever the chumra, become a chayv le'gavra. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Kav chumra is if you're allowed to do shchita, which is a real malacha, then what? You certainly could do hazah, which is only a shavus." Rabbi Akiva l'kula, but yeah, Rabbi Akiva says no. Even though again, you could go ahead and do shchita, he doesn't permit you to violate the shavus. So says the Gemara. Rabbi will say, so l'kula means that l'mais again, which means you can't go ahead and do the sprinkling, and therefore by definition, the individual is exempted. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Rabbi Eliezer, Dan kavachom and l'chumra d'kani am Rabbi Eliezer va'alani dan amashchi d'ashim mishum malacha d'oches ha-shabbis zush mishum shavus inodin she'titcha v'yazala v'yischai v'pesach. So we'll say, that's Rabbi Eliezer's kavachomer. If you could do shchita, then what? You certainly could do hazah. Rabbi Akiva parach l'kula upater mi Pesach diktani. So we'll listen to this. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, learns l'kula, namely that you can't go ahead and do the hazah. But we'll say, now, by the way, if you can't do the hazah, then what else can't you do? Karban Pesach. Veka parach Rabbi Akiva l'kula. We'll say ultimately Rabbi Akiva learns out the kavachomer l'kula, and yet what? And yet what? We go ahead and we seemingly pass like him. Rashi says, "Ochiluf." I'm reading the rest of that Rashi. Ma hazod mishum shvus in adochas hashav b'shchida mishum malacha hu adin in osheinot titcha alva kavachomer l'kula parach. So also Rabbi Akiva's kavachomer is like this: if you can't do hazah, you certainly can't do shchita either. And therefore, again, Karan Pesach is not docha Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, "This nan." Heishav Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva answered up Rabbi Eliezer. Oh, chiluf, you could flip the kavachomer around. Uma hazah shimishum shavus en adoch es ha-shabbis. If sprinkling the water of the paraduma on a person which is a shavus asum d'rabban is adoch ha-shabbis, shchita shidoreis l'kol shekin. Then I will say, oh, certainly all the more so, shchita is not adoch ha-shabbis as well. So I will say, you see from here that what? That when you have a kavachomer that can be learned one of two ways, one l'kula, one l'chumra, you can learn it l'kula as well. But remember again, the kula over here is that what? L'kula over here is, according to Rabbi Kiva at least, it sounds like you're not offering Karban Pesach. So that is a kula, because at the end of it, you are being exempted from an obligation. To which the Gemara says, no. Hasam Rabbi Eliezer Gamre. I also ultimately, again, in this case, there was something deeper happening over here, which is Rabbi Akiva was not really trying to go ahead and prove that you should be exempt from Korban Pesach, but rather, again, Rabbi Akiva was trying to jog the memory of his Rebbe, Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eliezer had taught Rabbi Akiva this sogya, v'iyaker le'tamuda. And Rabbi Eliezer had forgotten that which he had taught. And Rabbi Akiva was there to remind his Rebbe, ultimately again, about what he had taught. And that's what we'll say, part of this discussion, where as they're having this exchange, Rashi points out that this was part of a larger exchange, but as they're having their exchange, Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Eliezer, Rebbe, please, do not go ahead and deny what I'm saying at the time when we're duking this out, right? At the time when we're deciding on the din. Kach mekubal ani mimcha, Rebbe, I learned from you, hazo'a shavus, sprinkling of the ashes of the paradum rabosai, sprinkling in general, is a shavus, is an iser midirabanon, ve'ina docha es hashabbos. And a shavus rabosai is not docha shabbos. Interestingly enough, as much as a shabbos can be docha, but ultimately, again, the Shavuos is not Docha Shabbos. So, Rabbosai, the idea that the Gemara is saying over here is the way the Gemara seems to be ending off is that Lemaisa, where you have the ability to darshan a Kal Vachomer, one way goes the Chumra, one way goes the Kula, it appears that generally we will take the approach of the Chumra when it comes to interpreting the Kal Vachomer. And therefore, I will say, ultimately, again, learning this back, it would appear, based on that Kal Vachomer, that if this, that even though if you worship the mountain, so ultimately, again, the stones of the mountain do not become Aser, but nevertheless, if you were to take those stones, you would not be permitted to take those stones and ultimately use them to construct the Mizbeach. I will say, I'll stop over here, I'll share with you a short idea on the parasha. Mm-hmm.